Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the Old Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. We come today to Genesis chapter 24, and we're beginning in verse 15. Last time we left Abraham's servant who was praying, and we're going to see the answer to his prayer in verse 15. And so it says here in verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. Now notice his prayer was speaking. He didn't get on his knees. He didn't fold his hands just so, or get into a prayer position or a prayer circle or prayer square. Or he didn't pray, quote, really hard, close his eyes real hard, or weep all night. He just spoke to God, presented his request, and it was that simple. When he was done speaking, and by the way, he did it in his heart. And it says that, behold, Rebecca came out. And so the word behold there is a call attention. Here's an answered prayer. And by the way, this is a direct answer to prayer. We live in a time we don't see audible or answers to prayer. God doesn't answer us directly like that. And we can't claim that something is an answer to prayer, though we might say, well, we think it is. But this is a time when God communicated. So when they made a prayer, it came to pass. Now, you and I today are told to present a request unto God. And the only promise we're given today that the peace of God, or our true union with Him, will garrison our hearts and our thoughts in Christ Jesus. God doesn't tell us that we're going to find an answer to those prayers as we asked it, because we don't even really know what to ask for most of the time. But prayer is more about changing our hearts today than it is finding answers that we're seeking. And so that should be something that's very distinguishable in this time, this administration or dispensation of grace. The greatest virtue that we can show in this dispensation is patience, because we do not hear God speaking to us. We don't see visible answers to prayer. And though sometimes, yes, when people get sick, we pray for them, and if they get better, we thank God. So we just leave it at that, but we do not see God working today like He did back here in Genesis chapter 24 and so forth, or in the Acts period and things like that. So he goes on here in verse 15, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, and neither had any man known her. So notice the explanation there. This was a woman who had not known a man in a sexual relation. This term virgin is explained here, and we'll talk in Isaiah what it means there, but just wanted you to see here what this means. It says, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Back then, in those days, they didn't go to the kitchen sink and turn on the water. I'm thank God that I have hot and cold running water in my house, but it wasn't like that in those days. It was a lot more difficult. And so we have a lot of comforts. And I think sometimes the comforts of our current era kind of blind us to what's going on when we read history. We don't see the things that they go through, where things are such ease to us. It wasn't ease to them. I think I brought this up when Abraham was called in Genesis 11 and 12, where he's told to lead his kindred in his father's house. That was a difficult thing in those days. It was a difficult thing in the days of our Lord, when the Pharisees would boot you out of the synagogue. Was that basically you were outcast, and you needed that structure, that political and religious structure of that day to feed yourself. Well, today it's not so hard, because if I get kicked out, and I've been kicked out of organizations, religious organizations, because of my faith in the saviorhood of Jesus Christ, but I can still go to the convenience store, or to Jewel or Osco or whatever the local stores are by you, and get what I need. But it wasn't as easy in those days. So that's something to keep in mind. Always try to understand historical things, and it'll help you when reading the scriptures to kind of paint a picture of what's going on there. So anyways, it says here, verse 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Now the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have left drinking, or done drinking. Now notice this, she went the extra mile here. She had a kindness in her heart. It's the little things that count when you look at a person. And in this little activity right here speaks volumes about the character of Rebekah, that she had a servant's heart, a loving heart, and wanted to be helpful to others. And it says in verse 20, "And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels." Now notice all the ands in verses 19 and 20 emphasizing every act that she did. And sorry about that. Looks like somebody driving by my house in a tractor of some kind, which is weird. There's no farm really close by. So anyway, let's go on. So all the things that she did, she drew for all his camels. Now it says in verse 21, "And the man wondering at her held his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." So notice the man was patient. He made a specific prayer, and he was waiting for a specific answer to that prayer because, again, like I said, this was a time when God communicated, and he would know that this was God's will by the answer to prayer. And it says in verse 22, "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, 'Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?'" So here this man recognizes this is the woman. She's done everything I've asked for in my prayer. God has answered my prayer, and I need to pursue this further. And the verse 24, "And she said unto him, 'I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bore unto Nahor.' She said moreover unto him, 'We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in.' And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." What a character this guy is. We saw in verse 12 that he was a man who prayed. We saw in verse 21 that he was a man with patience. He waited for answer to prayer. And now in verse 26, when that prayer is answered, he turns to the Lord and acknowledges his greatness. He worships the Lord, recognizes his worth and his wonder. And he said, "Blessed or exalted be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." How did he know the Lord led him? Because the prayer was answered. This was not just spiritual talk where people say today, "Oh, the Lord led me." And they always talk about the leading of the Lord, whatever that means. Usually they mean it's some kind of emotional paradise, or they try to conform their feelings into the will of God as if, you know, everything they did had some kind of divine approval upon it. We love to play church. We really do. We love to play spiritual, but we shouldn't have to play it. But this man wasn't having spiritual talk here. It literally was true because the Lord had answered his prayer exactly as he prayed it. And this was, again, a time when God communicated. And now Rebekah acts in verse 28, "And the damsel ran and told her mother's house these things." And Rebekah, verse 29, had a brother, and his name was Laban. And here's a character. Boy, this guy's going to be something. We'll see as we read the account where we're introduced to this man Laban. "And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, 'Thus spoke the man unto me,' that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, 'Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels.' And so it says in verse 32, "And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him." And so this kind of shows you this man didn't go alone. This Abraham's servant had a caravan with him and people with him. And so remember, Abraham was practically a nation of himself. He was able to whip another nation in war, if you recall, back in Genesis chapter 14. And then it says in verse 33, "And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, 'I will not eat until I have told mine errand.'" What a thing that is. What a great quality in this servant. We don't read his name. We speculate that it's Eleazar that we read about earlier in Genesis, but I think it probably is, but I don't know for sure. But whoever this man is, we don't read his name here in chapter 24. And here is a man who wants to fulfill his mission before he pleases himself. He wants to get his work done before he takes relaxation. And that's a great principle. You can't rest really until you've done your work first. And this is what he's doing here. And he said, "Speak on," verse 34. "And he said, 'I am Abraham's servant.'" Now, I want you to notice very carefully the servant's words here. The servant does not embellish to make himself look good when telling this story. He just tells it like it is. And I appreciate that. And it says, "The Lord hath blessed my master greatly. Remember, Abraham was a very rich man. He was blessed in all things. Remember, I made the comment, helps us in interpreting Luke 16 with the rich man and Lazarus there, that story. And so you can listen to our studies in Luke 16 to get the gist there. So here's Abraham, a very rich man, and he has become great. In other words, he had wealth, and he was a powerful nation. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son unto my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. Pardon me, the phone is ringing. Well, because of the wonders of the radio world and the editing circle, you didn't know that there was about a half-hour delay. So I'm going to continue right here. Sorry about the phone call there. And so it says, I just finished verse 36, and now verse 37. It says, "And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go to my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will give all, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son." Now notice again the way this man prays. It's not a formal prayer. He just spoke to God about what was on his mind. Now notice verse 45, "And before I had done speaking in mine heart." So he didn't say this out loud. He was speaking inside in his heart. And the heart is the vital part. That means it was a prayer that he meant. It was a serious prayer. It was one man talking to his God. And it says, Rebekah, he says, "Well, before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee." And I want you to notice here, he prays and then he acts. He doesn't just wait for things to develop. He prays and he acts accordingly, because he was supposed to. And said, "She made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder." Notice she made haste. This woman was ready to do a kind act. She made haste. She was ready to move. How are we with that? Are we ready to act? She was ready to show a kindness, and that's that's a great quality. And I'm writing actually my margin right here. She was ready to show a kindness, and somebody once said, "Thy word I have hidden in my margin." I like doing that sometimes. And it says, "And I ever said, let's read verse 46 again. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God," or exalted him, "the God of my master Abraham, which hath led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter in unto his son." So this idea here, this word daughter here, could also refer to granddaughter, which it was. It was the granddaughter. "And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me." Now notice what he says here. He doesn't take it personally. He doesn't say, "Deal truly and kindly with me." No, it's with my master. He was representing his master, and that's all he cared about, was the reputation of his master. He goes, "Now, if you will deal truly and kindly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." So let's fish or cut bait here, guys, so I can figure out what my next move's going to be. "And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good." In other words, it was so obvious that this was a work of God that they couldn't say anything about it except, "The will of the Lord be done," basically. So verse 51, "Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Once again, he just sees the worth of the Lord in all this. He's really excited. This man was a believer. He believed in the promises of God. And even though it seems that he was just a servant in the household, he was a believer, treated well, and was part of that family, and believed in the God of Abraham, and worshiped him and served him. And these are just great qualities. And that says in verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. Just a couple things to notice. Notice in verse 54, now he eats and drinks. Earlier he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. Now that his errand was accomplished, he found some relaxation. And then in the next morning, he wants to go and fulfill his task. He doesn't want to linger. He has a job to complete. And he says, send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I might go to my master. Another great quality. A man wants to have a job well done. He wants to complete the job. He wants to finish it knowing the satisfaction of a job well done. And that's what he does. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She was attracted. She had never met Isaac before. She had no idea where she was going and what it was like, as far as we know. Yet something about this man, this servant of Abraham, something about his deportment, something about his character, something about the words he said and how he said them attracted Rebekah to say, I'm in, I'm in. And that's another great lesson. And as is in verse 59, and they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Now that word gate is the place of authority. It would be like our Capitol buildings in Washington, or our state Capitol buildings, or our local judicial areas and stuff. So in other words, what I think what this is saying here is that may you guys govern those who hate you. And that's the concept there, that they don't reign over you, but that you rule over them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now imagine that journey. Here's Rebekah leaving her homeland and going into parts unknown. All she had before her was the testimony of this man, this servant of Abraham. All she knew was what the words that came from his mouth. And she's hearing stories, I'm sure, on this journey to Isaac. And so that's what's going on there. Something to imagine, something to behold. I would love to have video of this and heard the conversations between Abraham's servant and Rebekah. Well, in verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Now, I think, I'm not sure he's meditating here as he was mourning for his mother. His mother had recently died, and he was probably out mourning. And he was probably also thinking about the great responsibilities he had as the firstborn, probably contemplating the promises of God in the future. I'm sure that's some of the things Isaac was doing. So it could have been meditating or mourning or a combination of both. So Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. So here it was. She finally sees eye to eye the one that the servant had been telling her all about on this journey. And now she meets him. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. There it is. He was comforted after his mother's death. Well, this is just a wonderful chapter. And we'll continue right now. And maybe we can sum up a little bit here. This man had so many great qualities, this servant. And actually, it goes back to the very beginning. Here's a man who had a responsibility, and he fulfilled that responsibility wonderfully. Here's a man in verse 12 who prayed. He prayed for God to do something specific in verse 12. And then in verse 21, He was a patient man, as we saw how he waited to make sure that prayer was answered properly. And then in verse 26, he was a man who saw the worth of Jehovah and saw him answer that prayer and worshiped accordingly. And then in verse 33, he was a man who wouldn't please himself, who wouldn't ease himself until he had first finished and told his errand. And then in his testimony, he was a man who didn't embellish to make himself look good. He simply told things like they were. He was plain spoken and just spoke the words as he saw them. And basically just related the story, unembellished. And then he worships the Lord again when he realizes his mission's going to be complete in verse 52. And then in verse 56, he was a man who wanted to complete the job. He wanted to finish it. He wanted to have a job well done and finalized. And finally, in verse 66, he reports back, and I'm sure that he felt great satisfaction when he returned home, accomplishing such a wonderful task, which led to the propagation of the Abraham seed, which leads to the ultimate birth of Messiah and the promises that will be fulfilled. All this through the work of this servant, this man, who had such a character and such, he spoke in such a way that attracted Rebecca and made her leave her home to go to parts unknown, all because of the character of this wonderful man. All right, I guess we'll stop there. We'll pick up in chapter 25 in our next study. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Until we talk again, keep searching the scriptures to see whether these things be so.